Hi there, and welcome to another podcast. This time in even better quality because Spav has a headset now as well.
Yes, I do. Listen to the non-buzzing. Like, shh.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
You hear that?
it's
Shh.
so peaceful. I feel really connected with nature and the world right now.
We should probably add some bird song.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so today we're gonna briefly talk about some gaming news, and after that we're gonna do some discussion topics just to change the focus a little bit. But first of all, I guess the big news is the PlayStation 3 launch. Spaff, your friend Brooks was interviewing some of the people who are waiting in line.
Yeah, that's right. That video we posted on the front, or two videos, in fact, now. And the third part is apparently due. Did it already launch? It did, right? Am I
It's
behind the
launching
times?
tonight, I think. So by the time
Tonight
people
at
hear
midnight?
this, yeah.
Okay, so hopefully the third part will be up by then. I think he went out in Colorado. It was like, I don't know how cold it was. He said something like 10 degrees Fahrenheit, but that means nothing to me. But pretty cold, and there were people outside camping, and he toured around and chatted to everyone. I think nearly everyone he spoke to was selling their console on eBay.
Yeah, there's opportunists everywhere.
The demand for it doesn't even seem to be people that actually want PlayStations that much. I don't know.
It's odd because I'm curious how much they will sell for on eBay. I mean, isn't really going to be $1,000 or what?
I think more at the moment. They were going for like $2,500. I mean, I think people would if you put buy it now, $3,000. Just see if you can get anyone to pay it.
Right.
Someone probably would.
I saw an American a local news channel covering the lines outside of a Best Buy, I think, and people actually there was a fight or something, and people then got fined for having their tents outside, and they got fined $400. So.
I've been reading a bunch of this coverage. It's all kind of hilarious. There seems to be various riots and various people being chucked off because they don't want them on their property.
Right.
People being starting fights. People being robbed. It's just chaos. I'm
Right.
surprised that they're even allowed to do it.
There is a lot of I don't know, a lot of news around the PlayStation 3 right now. I'm not sure if all of it is positive. And
No.
I just looked at Time Magazine has an article on their site, and they're actually saying in their one of their first lines of that article, a lot of people are waiting in lines, and their time and money is probably wasted. So that's the other publicity that PlayStation 3 is getting.
Right.
Yeah, let's. We all know that we're not really that interested in PlayStation 3. So,
No, we're interested in the rioting and people then laughing at everyone. And
exactly.
yeah. But we're already interested in the other console launch.
Yeah, what console is that?
The real console. The only one anyone really gives a shit about. The Nintendo
All right.
So
Yeah.
Those bastard Americans are getting theirs on Sunday, I
Yeah.
think.
Sunday? That's a weird day to launch. I think that should
Yeah, I know
be.
it is, but I don't know why they're doing it Sunday. America is a weird place. I think it's because it's
Maybe your
Thanksgiving this
information is not
weekend.
correct.
Really?
I
When do you think it's launching?
have no idea.
Oh, really? Well, I'm right, you jackass, and it's Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah.
I do know one is launching over here though,
When? 2nd of
because
December?
no, December is 7. Actually, yeah, December
You
8 actually.
don't know
But
anything.
no, I do know because it's actually December 7 for me because I'm going to like a midnight launch at a game store, and it's kind of embarrassing that I'm doing that. I've never done that before, but it will be interesting just to
Well,
see who
at least
shows
you're not
up.
queuing up for like 3 days.
No, I have a pre-order, so fuck everyone.
I don't even think that it's really going to be. Although, didn't they say Holland was going to have fewer consoles than
Europe
expected?
in general is going to have fewer consoles on launch day, but after that, apparently there will be new shipments every 3 days. But there was some nervousness about how many units are actually going to be in Europe. on time to, fill all the pre-orders. So even though, it's the console with the most units at launch, probably ever, I think, there's still some shortages, perhaps.
Right, but it's near worldwide simultaneous launch. It's
Yeah.
not that bad, even though Europe always gets shafted the most.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
I'm
still
totally
coming here
fine with
pretty
it.
soon.
Exactly. I don't really mind. So I've been looking at reviews, like the first reviews of the Nintendo Wii games, the launch titles, because I'm not really sure what games I'm gonna get on December 7. I know that I'm gonna get Zelda. It seems a
Yeah.
no-brainer. But other than that, I'm not really sure. At first, I thought that Rayman was another no-brainer, but I've been getting sort of mixed feelings about it more recently. I don't know what your opinion is, but
I haven't really looked that much. It just kind of looks fun.
yeah.
But I've been wondering with reviews how they're going to review them, because they have a new dimension that. Well, you know how boring reviews go, and they're like graphics,
Yeah.
sound, blah, blah. Now they have to add control in there. So good reviews are going to have to take that into consideration a whole lot more.
Absolutely. And the thing is, how much weight are you going to give the controls? Because I mean, if they seem really fresh and innovative, are you going to give, a higher score for that? Or are you going to say like, okay, it works at least as good as regular controls. Let's review the game as if it was a normal game. I wonder how different websites are going to
Yeah.
treat that, because I don't know.
So the new games journalist people are going to be all over it with their, with their experience of playing and stuff, aren't they?
Are there still new game journalists, like
They're probably, I
self-admitted?
don't know.
Yeah.
They've probably got a new name for it now. New school journalism. But
Actually, I have to say, like the I don't know if people know the original post that sparked that whole movement, quote unquote, but that actually sounded a lot like Idle Thumbs reviews, the original post by Kieran Gillen,
Yeah.
who writes for Eurogamer and a bunch of other stuff. He had some great ideas.
We never want to talk about
No,
that. No.
we don't
But
want
we
to
were in a
align
way. We were
ourselves. Yeah, exactly.
a form of new journalism, whatever. It wasn't,
Yeah.
you know what I mean. I don't want to talk
No, me neither. So
about
let's go back to those reviews.
Yeah, so
Because
what, have you read any yet?
I've got the list of all the reviews that have been posted so far, and I won't bother with the ones that have only gotten like one or two reviews, but a couple of interesting patterns have emerged. Like Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz is getting really good scores. I hadn't really looked at that title very much, but
I enjoyed the first game, but I haven't really bothered with it since
what?
since the first Monkey Ball. I kind
Yeah,
of got
me
bored of the
neither.
whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently this one is really good. It has very basic motion controls, just tilting your Wii controller to a certain direction, just pushes the ball in that direction. Very simple.
I imagine it moves the whole level like it did before or something, so the Wii controller is
Yeah,
the
it's sort of
platform and
like,
you move it.
yeah, exactly.
That seems a lot more intuitive than it used to be. It's kind of perfect for that.
Exactly. I think that's what happens actually.
It's more
And
like one of those little games you have, like handheld things back in the old days, with like a maze with a little ball in
yeah,
that you roll
exactly.
around. A bit like that.
There's like a real life version of that as well, right? Where it's based on. You know what I mean? Like you used to have those old wooden games that had the ball in it
Yeah,
and you
with like
had
a hole, and then you had to
to
try and get it in the hole.
Right. So
Or whatever.
yeah. Anyway, that game is getting like scores of 8 out of 10 most of the time. There's a whole lot of mini games in it, like 50 mini games, and a lot of them are similar
50?
to Rayman, actually. So,
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
50 mini games. So that's why I'm sort of confused about Rayman. I don't know if the mini games in that game will be good enough. The humor seems really cool, but I don't know. Excite Truck is getting really average reviews.
Yeah, that doesn't excite me, which is semi-ironic, I guess, that its name is that. But
Oh,
oh, Raffle Mouth or something.
lol.
But yeah, it looks kind of boring. I don't care.
It seems like sort of a standard, like the first racing game that's launching, I guess, and you know, it's something that you maybe want to pick up if you really want a racing game. That's kind of the only. Actually, there's GT Pro from Ubisoft, whatever that is, but there's no reviews of it yet. Oh, and Need for Speed from Electronic Arts. So I guess you could.
Need for Speed is ridiculously popular.
Yeah, it is.
I went when it came out. The day it came out, I went on TorrentSpy, and there were about 15 torrents for it, and they all had thousands of people downloading it.
Right,
unbelievable! It's the most I've ever seen of anything on there.
Which what is are you doing on TorrentSpy? You're not a pirate, are you?
I was downloading legal.
you were downloading demos.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at the games. I mean, I was, but only out of curiosity.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, so Wii Sports seems to be getting good reviews, and Red Steel is getting like 80% reviews and stuff like that.
That's been going up and down and all over the place. People have been saying the controls are shit, they're better now. No, wait, they aren't, they're crap.
Yeah,
I
Red
don't really
Steel
know where it stands
has gone
now.
Through like three different controller configurations, actually. So as far as I know,
I don't know which one. I don't know if it's any good or not. Now I'm completely lost.
I don't know either. I do know that there's some cool little things in it, like the phone feature.
Oh yeah,
is
you were telling me about that phone.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous, but I you know, I like original things like that, and I get excited very easily by things like that. But basically, it's I've seen it on a video where four people were playing multiplayer, and at the beginning, they their Wiimote starts ringing, and you pick up the phone by holding the phone next to your ear and like the Wiimote, and pressing A, and then you get in a sort of very low voice, you get to hear your mission in in that level. So yeah, you hear your secret assignment basically, and the other people can't hear it because it's very it's like a whisper or whatever. And then you you press A again, and then you throw down the horn basically. Or how do you
know
what
would be cool? Like if I had online multiplayer and you could phone up other players like that, that'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, like voice over IP, and then
like,
yeah, yeah, that would be great. So yeah, basically the Wiimote can be anything you want it to be, and I'm really excited by things like that.
Yeah. Was it you that was saying originally when Nintendo were showing the Wiimote that all the producers and stuff were like, "This is terrible. We'll never be able to design games for this." But then all the designers, within like half an hour, to come back with hundreds of ideas and stuff.
Yeah, that anecdote comes from, I think, the Nintendo interviews. Like Iwata asks or whatever. The Nintendo president is interviewing everyone in the company, like who worked on Wii Sports and Zelda and on the console itself. And one of the guys said that when they showed it to third parties, the producer guys were like really skeptical at first, and the game designer guys, they left them alone for a while, and they just came up with a billion ideas right on the spot, and there were discussions going on immediately. So that was kind of cool to read that. It's a really recommended feature, by the way. Everyone should read it. It's great. It's on the official Wii website, and it gives you so much insight into how that whole project, you know, got off the ground. And it really shows that Nintendo is not just this games factory with this this man-child, Shigeru Miyamoto, at the top, but was sort of this spokesperson. But there's lots of different viewpoints and lots of creative people working there, and it's really cool that they're finally showing that.
Right. And you can get to hear about Miyamoto upending the tea table, which is what they keep going on about.
Yeah.
Which I imagine is like it's someone in it having a tea party with someone and getting angry and throwing the entire table on someone else onto their lap. That's all I can work out from that. But they keep going on about it.
Yeah. It's like a reference from an anime series, I think.
Right.
It says in the footnotes. But they get really ridiculous with that metaphor. Some people are saying he was just rearranging the tea pot and the tea. What do you call it?
The teacups and stuff.
The teacups, yeah. And other people are saying, like, he sort of gently upended at the table, and the other people, like, everyone is making their own metaphor of it, and it's ridiculous. There's like 20 references to it in those interviews.
I would like to see that really happening.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just throwing a table on someone.
they should do that for a press event
They,
sometime.
yeah. Maybe him and like throwing on Kaz Hirai's lap or something like that.
I'm surprised that there's no animated GIFs of it yet, or no Photoshops anywhere.
Well, maybe we can make some. Maybe the
Yeah.
thumb stuff, thumbs, tears, formers, can
Let's
make some.
invent a
We need a
contest.
smiley. We need an upending the tea table smiley.
If someone makes that, what are we going to give that person?
I don't know. We will find something.
Okay. I have
Well,
a. Let's
we
see.
get some strange press releases offering us some contest stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we got that one the other day for the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yeah. The DVD box
Like,
set.
here, do you want this? Do you want the review of the DVD box set? And we got the horrible assets from that, the two wrestlers singing that little rap.
Oh man.
I may insert that rap into this
Yeah.
podcast.
I don't know what PR company that is and why we got on their list, but they send this crazy stuff. They also sent the Doom DVDs, and they sent some Mystery Science Theater 3000, and we haven't reviewed any of those things. And
No, we should. We should get that Mario DVD, actually.
yeah, we
We can
should.
give the Mario DVD to the person who makes the Wiimote thing. Then on the Wiimote thing, the upending the tea table
Agreed. We have a contest!
emote. Oh, man. I bet no one enters, though.
No.
I might win
S
it.
sadly. We do not have a strong Photoshop culture in our forums.
Yeah, we should cultivate one. I really enjoy those.
Yeah.
Hey, paisanos! It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show! With the Mario Brothers and plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. A treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the brim.
For the next part of the podcast, we're going to talk not about gaming news, but we're going to talk about some other things. First up are gaming TV shows. Video Gaiden has had its second episode of the second season. So, Spaff, you've seen it as well, right?
I actually haven't seen the second one. I have got
Oh,
it though,
okay.
but I have the first one. It's
Yeah.
sad. I don't know. I got left behind on that stuff.
Right, so Video Gaiden, for those few of you who don't know it, is a TV show produced for BBC Scotland. It's the same guys who do Castlevania, the free online video game show phenomena.
Good friends of Thumbs, Rab and Ryan.
Yeah, they're cool guys. The really surreal thing about that show, like Video Gaiden, is that it's, although it is broadcasted on TV, on actual TV, it is ridiculously hardcore and has crazy references in it, weird sketches, and it makes you wonder if someone just randomly tuned in, if they would know at all what they were watching.
It's kind of cool that although BBC Scotland is technically real TV, not that many people can actually get it.
Oh, it's like a
Only
local
to
channel?
Scotland. But you can get it on the BBC website, so that's good. But
Right.
yeah, it is highly surreal, which is really good though, because previously games TV shows have just been terribly boring, apart from Games Master, which was awesome, which maybe you didn't get in
No,
Amsterdam.
I've never seen it.
Oh. But they're always just like people playing and then asking for cheats. and then like 5-second reviews from some spotty teenage guys, or, you know, it's just terrible. But Video Gaiden is really trying to be the Top Gear of video games TV in a way. If you know what I mean, like accessible for everyone in a way, except that it's gone too hardcore and too kind of... it has very odd references.
The comparison isn't really true, because Top Gear, even if you hate cars, you can still get something from that show. They've got like comedy bits in it and just funny banter that is, you know, entertaining no matter what. But
yeah.
Castlevania, Video Gaiden, I guess it's different there, because they have jokes that just go way over everyone's head if you haven't played video games.
Yeah, but even if you have, some of them are really over your head.
Some
of them are really, really obscure. And but I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I enjoy that they're allowed to do that.
It's amazing, really, that they got away with it. And what I really like about this season is that, as opposed to last season, which was more like Castlevania, where they had different sets, quote-unquote, and different sketches, now they have just one sort of pretentious-looking set where they're sort of in this, I don't know, kind of like a movie theater environment or whatever, with columns and...
it's more like a show, right, where they have a centralized place and then it goes off from there into different sketches, but it always comes back.
And it's more focused on Rob and Ryan, which is good.
Also, it's twice as long.
Yeah, that's true.
Previously, it was only 15 minutes, and now they got a full half hour.
Right. I'm a bit... The only thing I don't like about it is that the reviews are completely uninformative. Like, they're not even that funny, and they don't really tell you much about the game, which Castlevania does a lot better.
Castlevania, yeah, but they do it in a very weird way. Like, some of the best reviews on there are just... you know, huge rants. Like their Batman review, which was just awesome, of just like they repeatedly saying "fuck off, Batman," you know,
yeah,
taking the piss
great.
Out of hugely, and they can't really do that as much.
That's true.
I think they're kind of stuck with that for a bit, but it's better than everything else.
Yeah, it's a surreal show, and everyone should watch it because it's on the internet for free, basically. So, go check it out.
Other TV gaming shows, I mean. In this country, there are none, but online there are several. But I don't really watch them. There's the One Up Show.
Yeah,
they do like a weekly video podcast kind of show, right?
I really like that. I've been watching that since the beginning, basically. And in the beginning, it was actually a terrible. Well, it wasn't. It was a questionable show because they had just reviews of games or previews of games where it's just two people talking with each other, and those were good, right? But they also had sort of like sketches in between. And those were really unnatural in the beginning. It seemed like you were watching sort of like a high school play. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, really amateurish and really embarrassing to watch.
Right, and they were... Yeah, exactly. And I think a big influence on that was Jane Pinkard, the...
Jane.
Yeah, from Game Girl Advance. And she went off to... One Up, and then went to GDC, but she was one of the producers of the show in the beginning, and I think she wrote a lot of those sketches because she's in it a lot, and you know, it, like the first episode I remember started with her pretending to be talking on the phone with Microsoft and grilling them on some stupid details, you know, and you could tell that she was just acting it out. It was really, really horrible. So I don't know why I kept watching it, but I did, and now it's sort of my standard ritual. Every week I watch it on Saturday morning, and it's really good now.
Cool.
All the crazy sort of cheesy stuff has been sort of
like omitted.
Yeah, exactly.
Or has it got better?
It's been omitted for like 2/3 and got better for 1/3. That's kind of
okay.
What they do now is usually they start, you know, with some people sitting in the office at oneup.com, and some other colleague comes by and pretends to be casually, you know, coming by for a chat, and then they get into a review. So that's the only thing they really play, that first bit. and they've gotten really good at that. But they no longer do like actual sketches, so that's really good. And
Maybe we should do some sketches in our podcast.
with Eckerton Green.
We could put some silly voices on. And no.
No, let's not. But the one-up show actually had had an amazing show like 6 or 7 episodes ago. They start as usual with a close-up of one of the editors at his computer, browsing the interwebs, and then another guy comes in and we have a close-up of him, and then they zoom out, and it's actually them on a plane. And like half of that episode is actually recorded on a plane from Germany to California. They went to Games Convention, and then they cut to footage from that show, and then they also cut to another crew that's at the same time at PAX, and another crew that's doing a little discussion thing somewhere else. So it has this really epic feel. It's
Well, that
amazing.
sounds really tight. I wish we had enough people to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, I think Video Guide and the One Up Show are my favorite game shows, even though they're completely different.
There are a few others out there, but I
Most
haven't
of them are
really.
shit.
Yeah, there's the GameSpot one. There's
Oh,
there
but
was
that's so
G4, but
boring.
they closed that down, right? G4 Television,
Yeah,
isn't
but
that gone?
G4 was terrible for the most part as well.
Yeah.
They only had a couple of like documentaries on the development of games, and those were good.
Oh,
And
but wait, we're missing one. Game Life.
are those guys still making those?
Let me check. I think they are. I'm glad that everyone's kind of ignoring them now.
Yeah, the internet meme has sort of run its course.
It's boring now, and everyone has hopefully realized that they're shit.
Yeah.
They
Wow.
have a Game Life theme song contest.
Are you checking it now?
And apparently they are still doing stuff for MTV, which I've never been able to see because it blocks you if you're not from America.
Oh.
And I can't be bothered to like IP mask or do something stupid. But I would like to see what the stuff they do for MTV is because I can't believe that I cannot believe that that exists. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
They
But
should
yeah,
really sort of mix up with the cast from Jackass or something.
what, and beat each other up or beat up the Game Life people? That'd be
Yeah, I
good.
don't care. Just yeah, put them together and see what happens.
They're terrible.
Nice.
So there we go. Video Guide and a one-up show are the best. A Game Life show is the worst.
Okay, are we gonna give them a rating?
We don't do ratings on Idle Thumbs.
What do we do in a podcast, right?
We can give them a thumbs down.
Okay.
A
Nice.
team a team meh.
The team A? No one knows what a team A is. Oh, they do, because there's a team A on the forums.
Yes, well done, Merrick. We
Moving
removed
on.
the thumb, in fact. Those of you long-time thumb people remember the
Yeah.
feature on the front page of the thumb with the thumbs up, thumbs met, and thumbs down. And we removed that because it was
Thumb,
never updated and
thumb,
it's
thumb,
harder than it looks.
thumb, thumb.
So those that miss it, tough.
Yeah. Actually, the thumb was first envisioned as just listing several current events that are either good, meh, or bad. And
Right,
they got
unrelated.
yeah, exactly. And they got really sophisticated and hard to write.
We gave up,
Yeah.
like everything else.
If you like IdleThumbs.net, you're in for a surprise. 'Cause we're not in a coma, we're just resting our eyes.
Finally, we're going to discuss video game events. Not sort of the conferences and the expos. We've talked about that very often, E3, GDC. Not those kind of things, but more like smaller cultural events or like exhibitions and things like that. There's a kind of a selfish reason for me to bring up the topic because I was recently invited to talk about that topic in a panel, which will happen
What?
Yeah, my first speaking engagement, ladies and gentlemen.
Merrick is a panelist.
Yeah, it's slightly scary. But that will happen in January if anyone is interested, and if anyone from the Netherlands is interested, I can post information on that on the forums. But anyway, I thought, you know, instead of writing some notes on my own, I could just talk about this with Spef and, you know, do that as my homework for the panel.
Fire away, sir.
Yeah, basically, whenever there's a cultural sort of video game event, it seems to not work at all. It seems really hard to put together something that is not about new products coming out or talking about how to make games, but something that is just about games in general. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how to make an event exciting and not just a bunch of people staring at a screen or, you know, a batch of consoles.
So what do you mean by events, first of all? What would you classify as a gaming event? So, like, for instance, I've been attending some various, like, some talks that EA put on, and they called those events.
Right.
So, like, there was the Will Wright talk, and there was the rubbish panel with Peter Molyneux.
Yeah. That's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking more in the sense of, like with films, you go to a film festival and you can watch films, and there's maybe a few debate panels, but mostly it's just about films. And there are, in fact, some events that are about games, where there's different games being shown, and you know, maybe some games, art exhibitions, things like
that. Okay, so let's think about ones we've been to in the past then. So what about the Game On thing?
Yeah.
Which is more like a museum exhibition.
It's kind of more about the history of games, I guess.
Yeah. That was actually really good. That was about 4 years ago that I saw it, though.
Yeah.
But that had, yeah, the history of games, so it had going up from the start, you know, it had Space War there and stuff, and then it had all, like, Pac-Man, and then you went through and it had, like, you know, the 50 best games of all time, whatever, you know, Monkey Island and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then it had loads of concept art. It had loads of, like, the craziest marketing things. Like, it had GTA GTA razor blades and mirrors and knuckle dusters and baseball bats and things like that. And it also had, like, original art. And then it also had some really weird crap. Like,
yeah.
They'd asked a bunch of artists to, you know, they'd describe Mario to them, and they'd never seen Mario before in their life. And they describe Mario, and then they have to build, like, a 3D statue of Mario. So there's all these kind of weird, bizarre things. You have to try and work out what they're supposed to be. But the Mario one's pretty easy, because it's like a big, fat Italian plumber with a,
right,
you know. But there were some really weird ones. They're like chocobos and stuff.
I guess the good thing about Game On was that there was a lot to see, but you could also play a lot. Because
yeah.
I remember I went there in London to a Game On as well, and there was the original Pong, which I thought was really cool, with the analog knobs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You could actually try that out. It just feel it. That was really cool. And a lot of old arcade games also.
Yeah, there was a lot of experiencing games how they were first kind of created, like the original Space War machine and stuff.
Right. And Game On has actually relaunched just recently with an expanded collection and an expanded exhibition. So
I should go and check that out.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I guess that's cool.
Example.
Like, no one's trying to sell you anything.
Exactly. And that's an example of an event that is really good, or like an exhibition that's really good. I'll give you two examples of things that I saw that really depressed me. There's Into the Pixel, which was traditionally held next to E3. And it was kind of pitched like, games are art. Come check out
our amazing... Oh, right. Was that the art exhibition thing?
Yeah. But the thing was, it was so heavily emphasizing that games were art, but what they did was they took some concept art from games and put them on a wall. And
okay.
I think that's really the wrong approach. Another thing I went to...
That's just saying art is art. This is some art.
It's like artwork. Like, yeah.
Wow. That's well, not a video game. That's a piece of art.
Exactly.
Standalone.
And another thing I went to a while ago was Next Level. It was a heavily advertised exhibition here in Amsterdam, in the City Museum. And it was very surreal for me to see that exhibition, because it seemed to be about games, but you know, it was trying to avoid games at every corner. They had a couple of art installations or something that were inspired supposedly by games, but really what this was is like a wireframe of a car, like made from like metal, like a wireframe.
Oh, like a real wireframe, like from chicken wire.
Exactly.
Wow.
And this was inspired by the Need for Speed.
So it's kind of, okay, so yeah, they're not actually showcasing games. It's like art based on games.
And they had some weird animation of a floating Elvis character. And this was also supposedly inspired by games. But they also had...
Which game?
They didn't say, just games in general. It was like an elaborate...
Elvis.
Yeah, there was an elaborate explanation, like blah, 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 the virtual reality and not the real reality and, you know, some pretentious bullshit. And by the way, I love art exhibitions usually because, you know, I have nothing against them. But this was really terrible. And also they had video montages of things like World of Warcraft. And they were just video montages showing the game, like half an hour of World of Warcraft footage.
Wow.
And they put it as a screen on the wall, and they showed it. And there was nothing interactive about the whole thing. And
yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's really important to, when you're showcasing games, to actually have the interactivity. That's such a key point of games. You can't really just... It's not a video. It's not a piece of art. It's not a static thing. It's something
exactly.
you experience and play. So that's one thing that, is fucking important.
It surprises me that... when you look at museums, if they show paintings, they make sure the wall is white and the lighting is correct, you know, and the painting is like right in the middle, centered on the wall, and it's not too close to other paintings. It's like optimized for watching a 2D picture. And when there's sculptures, they usually put them in the middle of the room so you can walk around it and see it from all sides because it's a 3D object.
Right.
But when they put games in a museum, they're suddenly really confused and they don't optimize the room for the medium that you're trying to show. And I'm not sure how you should go about doing that, but no one is really trying, which is really sad. They seem to be treating video games as if they are another medium, which is just depressing. And I think there's an opportunity to do a really cool games event that is sort of like arty and cultural, but where there's also some installation art, you know what? Like
Installation art's fine. There was one in the Game On thing, they had this installation piece kind of thing, but it was a game. Like someone had made, you know, someone had been asked to make some kind of 3D interactive experience that was a game. And it was this kind of weird room that you go in, and there were all these lights, and all these, I can't remember exactly, there were all these kind of grids, I think. And when you stepped in a certain square, then it played a song and lights changed.
Oh, cool.
And it was kind of like, it wasn't exactly a game, that there was no score, but it was you know, in the game, in the same sense as Electroplankton is a game, it's like a toy.
Exactly.
So you could wander around it and you could fuck with this room and it would change the room around.
Yeah, most and so, installation like, art more... qualifies as a toy and like maybe... A quarter also qualifies as a game. It's really amazing that no one is making this connection.
Yeah.
And because I see the difficulties with showcasing games because, you know, someone, if there's a screen and a console, someone might be hogging that console, you know, and just playing that game all the time. And other people wouldn't have an opportunity to play it. If you put it on a big screen, then it's just boring to watch someone else play. There's a lot of, you know, difficult issues to deal with. But if you have something that is really physical and, you know, makes use of the room that you're in, as well as some regular games, you could make it really interesting, I think.
Yeah, if you have enough of them as well, like so that you can go and experience something.
Yeah.
One thing that was actually quite interesting as well, it's almost like an installation piece, was that thing that was at E3. I think it was in the Nintendo booth. Do you remember that kind of floor game
Yeah.
thing they had? Where it was like a.
An interactive floor.
Yeah, with like some water on it, and then you walk. There was like a bridge, and you walked across it, and the pieces of bridge fell down and stuff, and like. You could touch it, and it made it like a pool of water, you know.
Exactly.
What do you call it? You know, it looked like you were touching water. That was kind of cool. Like, things like that
And
need to
there's
be
so
there.
much stuff like that out there. There's so many interaction designers, like not game designers, but just interaction designers doing that kind of shit. And there's like tables with LCD monitors in them, and so many things that you can use for that. So it's a huge opportunity. Oh yeah, there was another thing I went to like a couple of years ago. It was also in Holland, and on the one hand, it was disappointing because it just had a bunch of screens showing footage from games, from the history of games. But on the other hand, it was really interesting because they had created all these different levels, like physical levels. You know, you had to climb on top of stuff.
All
So
right.
it was kind of like a platform game, the whole
Like
exhibition.
the whole exhibition, you know, you had to. Yeah, that's quite cool. That's a good
Yeah.
idea.
And you have to discover different areas, you know, and screens hidden behind blocks, and stuff like that. That was
That's
also
cool.
kind of nice.
So the whole thing is, you know, a game you're playing with the exhibition.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like being a kid again.
Exactly.
You know,
Yeah.
like playing in a playroom.
People were laughing and you know, really enjoying that, even though other than that, there was nothing really to do. Yeah, that inspires me for things like that.
There was one small gaming event that I didn't manage to go to, but that Ben and Alex went to, but it sounded really awesome, and it was actually marketing based, clearly. And
Yeah.
that was on the launch of Shadow of the Colossus. And they were going to play Shadow of the Colossus and project it on a giant wall,
Right.
which is awesome, like, because it's about giants, you know, it'll be huge. So Ben and Alex went along, and what they were really doing was just projecting it on a normal sized wall, no bigger than my wall, the projector in my front room. So it was a
Terrible.
complete failure, but it just sounded, that would have been quite good.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was on the side of a building, like a life-size, great big colossus.
Yeah,
That
they're
would be
doing it here
awesome.
in Amsterdam sometimes to promote events. They just go around with a special vehicle and they project onto giant buildings, like these large shapes and stuff like that. It would have been great. Yeah.
You remember that guy that re oh, when was that? Like, ages ago, or maybe it was just I'm making up in my head that I think it exists, that someone made Tetris work on the on a building, on
Absolutely,
a
that was in
size
Germany.
skyscraper.
There,
Yeah.
there's a story behind that. Actually, I saw a lecture once by one of the programmers who did that. That was a project by the sort of hackers, how do you call it? The hackers club or something in Germany. Yeah, they have like an organization, and they had their 20th or 30th anniversary, and like 2 or 3 months before that anniversary, they said we should do something cool, and there was a building that was not being used somewhere near a square in Germany, in Berlin, I think, and they actually got lamps on behind every window in that building, and they created a whole mechanism to flash those lights on and off, and you could use a mobile phone to actually you had to call a special number, I guess. And then you could actually stand outside on that square and play Tetris on that building, which
Yeah, see,
was,
that's awesome.
and
That
they had pixel art on it as well. People could send in animations through a special app, and then your pixel art would be displayed at night on that building, which was insane. And they did it in 3 months, I think. And so that's really, really fast. And they didn't copyright it or anything, just because they wanted to have it done really fast.
well,
And
because they're hackers as well, though.
exactly. Yeah, they wanted to open source it. And after that, there were like 20 cities or whatever that did it.
All right, cool. Well, that's the kind of thing that needs to be done. That's
Yeah,
what I
totally.
say. If you're going to have a gaming event, go all out. Steal
Sweet.
a building, make Tetris on it.
I think that's a brilliant conclusion.
And get a bigger building and make, you know, lots of different color lamps and somehow make a NES work on the side of a building.
Nice. I have nothing further to contribute. I agree.
Okay, so your panel is when? January?
Yeah.
And what will be the outcome of this panel? Like, will you be deciding, will everything you say kind of be taken down and then
put into consideration to create an event?
Yeah, there's an organization that's doing a lot of film festivals, and they're sort of investigating what they can do with new media and games in particular. And the other panelists are all people who are not from the game industry and are instead, you know, organizers of festivals and, people who make exhibitions and things like that. And some of them may not even be knowledgeable of games at all. So it will be interesting.
Before we move on or end the podcast, while we're talking about gaming events and stuff, I should just point out that one of our staff members, Ian Simmons, was it?
Yeah.
He put together that Game City Festival thing, which I actually was at the end of last month.
I read great reviews. Go.
Did it get good reviews and stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
I completely forgot that it existed.
It was in the same category. It was like a festival, not really focused on promotion.
Oh, in fact, I did. I saw lots of stuff because that was in Nottingham, right? So they had like Richard Jux playing Sega music in a cathedral or whatever, and they had...
Wow, yeah.
One really cool thing I saw of that, actually, which really... I think we might have talked about it before, was... The guys from Time Splitters team, Free Radical, they kind of made a panel in, and what you could do is go in and pitch your game idea, and it was like one of those game shows where you come on like a talent show, and they have a big gong when they gong you to get off the stage.
Cool.
And like, so people come in and pitch their game ideas, and they're like, gong, fuck off, that's shit. You know? So that sounded really cool. That sounded like good fun.
Yeah.
We should do that on the podcast. I think I mentioned that before.
we should gong each other sometime. Like when you're getting boring, I will just gong you.
We now have headsets. Next step is buying gongs. Full on gongs.
We should buy the same brand of gongs, just as we have the same brand of
headsets.
Get
the same sound and everything.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess he'll do another festival at some point. I'll find out.
It's going to happen again next year, so you should go.
And if you want to see Merrick in his panel, he'll put details up about that, won't you, Merrick?
Totally.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to another podcast.
Gong!
Oh, screw you.
What?
Merrick's sipping coffee, aren't you, Merrick?
Yes.
And now he's unzipping his trousers?
Totally. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited. No, this is my hoodie.